There were two men that were hiking together, and they had spent the night out in the wild, in the wilderness, and they were hiking the next day, and they came around the corner of some rocks, only to meet an angry grizzly bear that was standing right on the path and spotted both of them. Well, one of the guys dropped his backpack down very carefully and began to open it up. And got out some nice new-looking running shoes and set them down on the ground. And he started to very slowly put them on. And his friend just stood still. And his friend just nudged him and said, "Man, those are not going to do you any good. Those running shoes are not going to help you outrun this bear." And just about the time he finished tying that last shoe, he said, "No, but it's all I have to do is outrun you." And he took off running. Well, that man with the running shoes was not willing to give up anything for his friend there. He was certainly not willing to give his life for his friend. He wanted to keep his own life and sacrifice the life of his friend. I had a similar real-life experience. Allison and I were snorkeling one time off of down in Fort Walton Beach. If you go and you cross over the Destin Bridge to go into Destin, Florida, and to the right there's some jetties that go out. Well, we were on the other side of those jetties in the Gulf area snorkeling together, and we were in an area that was, it was pretty deep, and we were snorkeling, enjoying it, and there was a boat maybe about where the front doors of the church are, maybe a little further. And they started shouting to us, just going, "Right there, right there." And we were like, "What in the world? What is wrong with them?" But they kept saying, "Right there, right there." And after hearing it for quite a while, I finally just took off my mask and everything. And I said, "What? What's right there?" And they said, "A shark." And just about that time, I saw a black figure swimming side, coming toward us, and we were pretty far from the shore, so we took off. And Allison went first, and she was swimming on top of the water and kicking her feet with those big old flippers. And I chose to go kind of quiet and go underneath the water and try to swim real quiet. Well, I must say, it wasn't just voluntarily on my part to be the one in the back and get eaten so she could get there. I wish I could say that. But I was just swimming quietly and she was kicking. And I knew it was over for me, because I believe sharks were attracted to a lot of things going on up there. And I thought, well, he's going to swim right through me and go into her. I'm gone. But we made it. We made it to the shore. All limbs attached and fingers and toes. But there again, I wish I could say I was sacrificing my life and I gave everything, and that's why I was in the back and I was going to get eaten so she could make it. But nonetheless, when you think about these things and you think about sacrifice and you think about, what would you give for somebody that you love? And then when you think about your Creator and your God, your Savior, the one who gave everything for you, He gave His life for you. He did stay in the back and chose to be killed for you so you could be saved, so you could live forever. When you think about that, you need to ask yourself, is there anything that you wouldn't give Him? Is there anything that you wouldn't give God if He asked you for it? And the title of this message is, "What Won't You Give?" And when considering what you wouldn't give, we need to remember a few things. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at the first two verses. Romans chapter 12. God's Word says this. He speaks this to us this morning. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Pray with me. Father, we just ask that You'd speak to us through these verses, Lord. We thank You that Your Word is living and active, and Lord, that You speak through it. Lord, I don't want to mess this up. Get me out of the way. And let us hear Your voice, Jesus, speak to every heart. We pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. When considering what you wouldn't give, remember this. Remember, God has mercy on you. When considering what you wouldn't give, remember, God has mercy on you. We see this in the very first word, therefore. It's been said before that anytime you're reading Scripture, anytime you're studying God's Word and you come across a therefore, find out what the therefore is there for. That's a good word. Let's look at this therefore. What does it refer to? Well, we've got to look back just a little bit. Look at the verse I read this morning. Well, let's look at verses 30 through 32 in the previous chapter, 11. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that He may have mercy on them all. God wants to have mercy on you. Yes, you're bound to disobedience. You have a life of disobedience. The Bible says that you are a sinner. It says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says there are none righteous, no, not one. That's every single one of us. We have what God tells us in His Word is called a sinful nature. We're born with it. Well, we're all in this state of disobedience. But the good news is God desires to have mercy on them all. He wants to have mercy on you. And on me, on every one of us, on all people who are disobedient. He wants to have mercy. God has mercy on you. You see, why do we need mercy? Because there's a penalty for sin. Yes, God declares we're all guilty. We've all sinned. We're all sinners. And in Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so there's a penalty for sin. Wages, you know what that is. You work a job, you earn your wages, and you get paid what you earn. Well, God says when you sin, which we all do and we've all done, and we all continue, when you sin, the wages of sin, what you earn, what you get for sin, is death. That's the wages of sin. Well, and when the Bible speaks of death there, it means eternal death. It means separation from God for all eternity in a place called hell. And God says that He didn't even make hell for people. He made it for the devil and his angels. But that Jesus referred to it many times. It is the place of eternal punishment. It's the place of that second death, eternal death. So we're in trouble. We've all sinned. We're all guilty. And the penalty, the wages, is death and hell. That's the punishment. That's the penalty. That's what our disobedience deserves. And that is why we need mercy. That's why God delights and loves to have mercy on us, to extend mercy to us. What is mercy? Well, it's not getting what we deserve. We deserve and we're supposed to get that death penalty. But when God has mercy and He extends it to you, you don't have to pay that death penalty. You don't get what you deserve. That's mercy. That's God's mercy. Here's a picture of it. There was a young man out of college that was coming into the cafeteria, and he had his lunch. He was carrying a little bit too much, and he was walking by one of his professors, and he slipped just a little bit. The whole tray went into the professor's lap. It happened to be a professor that really cared about what he looked like and bought the most expensive suits and always dressed in a suit and that type of thing. Well, it was ruined. There was stains, food all over it. In class, the student just had his head down the whole time trying not to look at the professor with all these stains all over him while he taught. And after class, the student wanted to apologize, but the professor just said, just listen. He said, I want you to meet me tomorrow at this men's shop. It was a place downtown in the city, one of the nicest, most expensive men's shops in the city that the man frequently shopped at. He said, I want you to meet me here at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And the boy said, yes, I'll be there. Well, he showed up at 11 a.m. And the man was already there waiting. He had already looked at a few suits, and he was picking out a very expensive suit. And this student didn't have hardly any money. But he said, you know what, whatever I need to do, I'll get whatever I need to do. I know I need to pay for this, and I've got to do this. And the professor looked at him, and he said, listen, he said, go pick out a suit. And he said, I want my tailor to measure you. And he didn't know what was going on, but the tailor measured him, and he went and he picked out a suit. And the professor actually bought him a new suit and bought himself another suit. And you see, he never forgot that. It was a picture of God's mercy and His grace. You see, the young man didn't get what he deserved. he should have paid for it. He should have bought another suit. That's what he deserved. But he didn't get that. He got mercy instead. That's what God gives to you. That's what He wants to extend to you. And so when you're considering what you won't give God, remember, God has mercy on you. Secondly, remember to keep it in view. Not only does God have mercy on you, but the next thing we need to do is keep it in view. Keep it in your sight. That's what God is telling us through verse 1. Therefore, I urge you. He's saying, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. So keep it in view. He's urging you to keep God's mercy in view. Well, what does that mean? It made me think of a computer, and maybe you work on a computer, maybe you're very computer savvy, maybe you don't ever touch the thing. That's fine. But bear with me. In a computer, there are many views. You might be working on something on the computer, and you have different things you can move, and you can click on different things to help you in this computer program, in this application, and they're all right there, and you can do some different things right there. But you know, you can go to this little word that says views, and you can click on that, and what will happen is the whole screen will change. It'll look totally different, but you have all the same stuff there. Everything's the same, you just have a different view. You're looking at all the same stuff, but it's rearranged. You have a different view. I have some music software, and I can look at the track view, and I can see if I record some sound, I can see the sound right there. And then I can click and go to a console view, and then all of a sudden, it's all the same stuff, but now I have all these long bars, and I have little dials that you can turn with the computer and things, and you see the console view. And then there's something called the matrix view. And I don't know what that is. It changes everything into a bunch of boxes, but it's all the same stuff. It's just different ways to look at it. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to view life. There's a lot of ways to view your circumstances, your problem, what you're going through. There's a lot of ways to wake up in the morning and see life and see your life. There's a lot of different views, but you see, God is urging you here. He's urging us here to put on the God's mercy view. to click on the God's mercy view and to view everything, to see everything through God's mercy, to look at your whole life through, God has had mercy on me. He's had mercy on all my disobedience, even the sins I haven't even done yet. He's had mercy on me. And God wants you to take that view and look through that view. And so when you're considering what you wouldn't give, remember God has mercy on you. Remember, keep it in view. And next, remember, give all to Him. Give all to Him. I know we've been focusing on, well, what's anything that I'd hold back from Him? Is there anything I'd hold back from Him? Well, that's the next point. Give all to Him. You see, He says here, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you're used to hearing about giving God sacrifices, give Him an offering, offer Him an animal, and the people in the Old Testament would give an animal sacrifice. They'd give these things, they were offerings to the Lord. Well, God says, offer your body, give yourself, give your whole life to me. That's what I want. Offer your whole life to Him. Offer all that you have, all that you are. Offer your body to Him. He says, do this. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. You see, if this is God's altar here, I could wake up in the morning and I could say, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to offer my body as a living sacrifice to God. I'm going to give God all that I am today. Here I go. I put it on God's altar. All right, God, I give you all of me. I'm yours today. Do with me whatever you want. I just gave you my whole life today. I offered you my body as a living sacrifice. But you see, if I'm not careful, as I sit there for just a couple of seconds, I might go, oh, good gracious, what am I doing? I don't know if I can give God my whole life. What's He going to do with me today? What's He going to tell me to do? What will happen to me? What will come into my life if I give Him my whole life? You see, that's the problem with a living sacrifice. But oh, that's a lie from the devil. You see, the place of freedom, the place of joy, the place of love, peace, joy, happiness, fulfillment in life, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all the best that God has to offer is all right here. It's all when you give Him all that you are and you stay there. And you don't crawl off the altar. And you live that way today. God, I'm yours. I'm totally yours today. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, God tells us. That's our time. It's our talents. It's our treasures. It's all that we are. And that's where the question comes up. Is there anything that you wouldn't put on that altar? Anything in your life? Any possessions? Any relationships? Any people, anything, is there anything that you're holding back from God that you would not put on that offer? What won't you give? And you see, that's what we have to watch out for. Because anything that we won't give to God, anything that we say, oh no, you know, I got to keep that. You see, that takes God's place. Because God wants you to give Him all of yourself. And anything that we hold back and we say, oh, you can't have that yet. You know what that's called? It's called an idol. And it's one of the Ten Commandments. God says, don't have any idols. No idols. And you see, Abraham was tested in this area. And in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham was given a son. He had waited so long for this son, Isaac. And I don't know, perhaps he was holding really tight to Isaac. Perhaps he wasn't willing to give Isaac to the Lord. I don't know. But there was a test that God gave him. And he passed the test. But look at Genesis 22 in verses 9 to 12. God asked for His son, the son that you love. God was saying, will you give Him to me? Will you sacrifice Him to me? And in verse 9 it says, when they reached God, and Abraham took his son, brought him with him, he was going to do it. Because his love for God was such that he wasn't holding anything back from God, even his own son. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Sometimes it's a relationship. Is there anything that you hold back from God that you wouldn't give to God? You see, Abraham passed the test. Would you? Would you pass the test in every area of your life? Jesus offered himself. He gave everything to you. He gave his life to you in death. And he wants you to be a living sacrifice. Pass the test. Give him all. Give all to him. And finally, be transformed. Be transformed. We see this in verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. What does it mean to conform? It makes me think of a mattress. You know, if you think about a mattress, and you lay on that mattress, your body conforms to that mattress. It just fits that mattress. If it's one of those beds that it can go up and down, the feet can go up, and you lay on it, your body is just conformed to that mattress. Matter of fact, I think our mattress is getting a little too old, and my body's conformed to it. I think I have a little dip in there, and I think my back was hurting the other night because I conform to that mattress. I fit nicely in that mattress. Oh, I didn't bring it up here. I brought some Play-Doh with me. Reason being is because Play-Doh is a great picture of conforming. If you take that Play-Doh and you squish it down in your hand and you lift it up, you've got your handprint right there. That Play-Doh conformed to your hand. That's what it means to conform. And God says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't look like this world. Don't fit in to this world's mold at all. Because you see, this world, there's a prince of this world, and it's the Bible tells us it's the devil. It's Satan. In Ephesians 5:17, God tells us, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. What does God mean, because the days are evil? He means if you just naturally just let everything go, you just kind of let things happen, they go toward evil because there's a prince of this world. And we have three enemies as a Christian, the world, the flesh, the devil. And if we don't actively seek God and seek His will and do His will, we'll naturally go to evil. That's our natural bent. And so if we don't purposefully do something, we'll just conform. We'll just fit right into this world. God says, don't do it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. No. Instead, be transformed. That's the opposite. In other words, look totally opposite. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look totally different. Do the opposite. God's Word is completely different than the ways of this world. God's Word and His truth and the things that He says, it's different. It's countercultural. It's different than the world. It goes against the grain. And you see, the world, the Scripture tells us, is in darkness. That's the ways of the world. The world is in darkness. And you see, God says, if you're following Him, He says, if you repent of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus, that you've become the light of the world. And He says, now shine bright. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good deeds and they'll praise your Father in heaven. And so now, you see, as a believer, you're in total contrast to the world. You're transformed. The world is in darkness, and you're light, completely opposite. And that's God's call for you. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You let God fill it. You read His Word. You do what you're doing today. You worship Him. You pray. You spend a lot of time with Him. Saturate yourself in His Word. and He begins to transform your mind. The renewing of your mind takes place with God's Word. And you know what? And then there's a bonus to it too. Then you'll know His will. He said, then you'll be able to test and approve His will. You'll know what God wants as you transform your mind. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And as you take the bread, and as you take the cup, realize that God has mercy on you. Keep it in view. Give all to Him. If there's anything you came in here holding back today, give it to Him. Surrender to Him. Give all to Him and be transformed. And don't take it. Don't take the Lord's Supper. Let it take you. Let it take you.